You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 30th of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got an interesting bit of trivia to begin with today. Americans are most likely to name President Donald Trump as their most admired man as 2020 comes to a close, edging out his predecessor, Barack Obama, in the annual Gallup survey released on Tuesday. Trump's top place finish ends a 12-year run as most admired man for Obama, tied with Dwight Eisenhower for the most ever. Now, how does that correspond to Joe Biden winning the election when Donald Trump is the most admired man of 2020 and he beats Barack Obama, and we've just been told that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama got? Well, just where did so-called president-elect Joe Biden come? Well, 18% of the survey's respondents named Trump as their most admired man, compared to 15% who named Obama, and just 6% who named Joe Biden. Another 3% named National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Anthony Fauci, while 2% said Pope Francis. And that really doesn't say a lot for America, does it, that some of them believe Pope Francis to be the most admired man or Anthony Fauci, but at least 18% are naming Donald Trump. And of course, we are all looking forward to seeing what happens on January the 6th, when Donald Trump holds his rally. Getting back to the same sort of subject as we were talking about yesterday, there has been an allegation made, an allegation that the British government are white nationalists. I'm just staggered at that. The British government is possibly tied with Sweden for being the most anti-white government in the world, and it's just staggering that anybody could think that the British government was doing anything that's in the best interests of white people. And of course, we know the ethnicity of the person that is likely to be saying this. The head of a race equality think tank has accused the British government of pursuing a divisive white nationalist agenda, prioritising the white working class at the expense of ethnic minorities in an attempt to win votes. I mean, how on earth can you interpret what is going on that the white working class are being prioritised? It is the white working class that are constantly being attacked. It's the white working class that is most likely to carry out these so-called microaggressions that we are hearing about all the time. It's black people that we keep being told we need to be replacing whites with on the television, in the boardrooms, in government, everywhere. We don't hear anything about the poor white working class, apart from occasionally when somebody speaks up for them and says that they're actually doing the least well out of all the groups in society. In her first interview since being appointed director of the Runnymede Trust, Halima Begum, I wonder if she is any relation to the infamous Jemima Begum out there in Syria at the moment. Halima Begum said ministers had failed to respond meaningfully to the seismic shifts represented by Black Lives Matter protests and the disproportionate effect of COVID-19 on black and minority ethnic Britons. how else could they be responding to Black Lives Matter? We've seen Keir Starmer get down on one knee for them. We've seen people shouting out Black Lives Matter in the Houses of Parliament, in the House of Commons, going on at the same time as Black Lives Matter were burning down and looting entire cities in America, at the same time as Black Lives Matter were hurling pushbikes at police women on horseback, causing them to break their back, I think it was, and puncture their lung, while the British government was bending over backwards to appease these people. And the disproportionate effect of COVID-19 on black and minority ethnic Britons, government set up a review and an inquiry into this, and instead of putting medical officers at the head of it, they put Doreen Lawrence at the head of it. They put somebody whose son was allegedly murdered by white racists in charge of this. So she is obviously not qualified to be looking at medical reasons for this disproportionate effect. She's just there to think up some ways that white people can be blamed for this. And of course, white people were blamed for the fact that there was this disproportionate effect on black and minority ethnics. So I don't see how anybody could say that the British government have not failed to respond meaningfully to Black Lives Matter. I would say they have responded in the wrong way to this. They certainly have responded to it in ways that are conducive to Black Lives Matter and not conducive to white people. They even attacked any white person that dared to suggest that white lives actually mattered too. She said that while companies such as Penguin, Goldman Sachs and Apple had been approaching Runnymede to find out what they could do to tackle structural racism, and the public and even civil servants were engaging on the topic, the government was denying its existence. How can they say the government is denying its existence when Keir Starmer is getting down on his knees before this organisation? She says, I think the government's long-term plan is to work up white nationalism for the next elections, said Begum. What we should be saying is that working-class black and white communities have been left behind because they've seen industries demolished in the north of this country. Well, hang on a minute. Isn't it the black communities that live in the big cities? Isn't London 60% non-white now? Isn't Birmingham majority non-white? Don't we have other cities that are now majority non-white? It's the cities where these people flock to, particularly the cities in the south. They all want to be in London. The areas in the north, the rural areas, where there really is no industry, that is still filled with white people. Those are the most deprived areas. She says, we haven't seen the economies built back. We haven't seen investment in our education system for years so that our black, white and Asian working class children will thrive. And of course, she's added white there because she doesn't want to appear to be picking on white people. But the fact is, it's whites that are not being looked after in the education system. Blacks and Asians are having lots of resources directed at them, even though they have a much lower average IQ, and they're obviously not going to benefit as much as the white working class. They're not going to reward that investment as much as the white working class would for the country. I actually have a quote here about this from an earlier report that was in the Daily Mail a month or so back. White working class boys from low income homes are by far the most underprivileged children in Britain in comparison with any other major ethnic group. According to the Department for Education, just 13% of white boys entitled to free school meals, because the families are on benefits, go on to higher education. Yet 27% of similar black Caribbean boys go to university, 42% of Pakistani, 51% of black African, and 66% of Chinese boys. So what is this Halima Begum talking about when she says we haven't seen investment in our education system for black, white and Asian working class children? Black and Asian working class children have had plenty of investment. Getting back to this other quote here, it is a staggering fact that only 2% of white working class children get into the most prestigious universities, yet we fall over ourselves to help other groups make it. The only groups with worse educational outcomes than white working class boys are their peers from Gypsy, Roma and Irish traveller backgrounds, who of course don't go to school so much. So will we see a campaign on behalf of Britain's poor white children? I am confident the answer is no. And that was Professor Matthew Goodwin giving evidence to the Education Committee's inquiry into why poor white children do so badly at school. So where is this head of the Runnymede Trust getting her information from? Halima Begum says, what I see instead is the Conservatives pushing through a narrative of a white working class that's been left behind, which, by the way, is where Donald Trump was at about 6 years ago. That isn't what we see. What we see is the Conservatives setting up this group, this inquiry group, specifically set up to find an excuse to blame white people for why more black and non-whites were getting COVID. We see the Conservative Party sponsoring David Lammy to try and find a way to blame white people for the fact that five times as many blacks are involved in crime than whites and end up in prison. We see the Conservative Party setting up another inquiry to find out the differences in life outcomes between the different ethnic minority groups, where again, they're going to blame white people for the fact that there are these different disparities. Everybody isn't equal. There isn't an equality of outcome because the races are not equal. They are different races. Their characters are as different as their appearances. I mean, it's just basic common sense. Form and function. Form and function are linked together. If something has a different form, it's going to have a different function. Why is it that we can say that blacks do great at basketball, blacks are very, very good at running, but if we say, well, whites are very, very good at chess, and we don't see blacks in that, why must it be that it must be racism is the reason why we don't have any black people involved in chess? Why must it be racism that there are more blacks in prison than whites, but we don't say it's because people hate men is the reason why there are more men in prison than women? All of this is just common sense, and we don't see the Conservatives saying this. We don't see the Conservatives trying to do anything for white people. We see the Conservatives doing everything that they can for black and non-whites, which incidentally is exactly the same as Donald Trump, who has increased employment among blacks to the highest level that it has ever been in America, and who made one of his campaign promises to invest, I forget what it was, $5 billion into the black community. He freed lots of black prisoners that were in prison, and Donald Trump has bent over backwards to help black people, and he increased the vote among black people massively this time around. And yet this Halima Begum is claiming that he's a white nationalist and the Conservatives are copying him. Runnymede was formed in 1968, the same year as Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech. So they have to drop that in there as well and try and link the Conservatives with that, and everything that Enoch Powell said in that speech has come true. It was only last year that we saw that there were the same number of murders in London that they had in New York, which was one of the predictions he made. Another of the predictions were that it wouldn't be long before the black man held the whip hand over the white, which was referring to black people being in charge over whites. And that is what we see. We have black people in parliament. We have black politicians. Rightly or wrongly, we do have them. And Enoch Powell was correct in what he said. And yet he is still attacked today as if what he said was unreasonable. He had masses of support. I think it was like something like 60% of the public supported Enoch Powell. The amount of immigration that we had back then is nothing compared to what we have now. And if you look at the crime rates, it's nothing compared to what we have now. And when you think in America, it's over 50% of all the murders are carried out by the 13% that make up the black community, you can see why we have such a problem with violent crime in our cities over here in Britain. Do we hear the Conservatives speaking about that? No, we don't. We see the Conservatives telling judges that if they have young black males in the dock, that they should avoid giving them a prison sentence because they may have suffered racism at some point in the past. And yet we see all these policies today that are there to effectively penalise white people and prioritise blacks. We see that in the universities, as we just heard here with the investment. We see that with the recruitment for the police, for the fire brigade. We see that with recruitment for the civil service. We see that with diversity quota shortlists for MPs. We see that with the constant drive to get more diversity on television. All we ever see is white people being penalised by the Conservative Party and black and minority ethnics being prioritised. We even have this group here, this Runnymede Trust, which is set up just to find ways to prioritise things for the black and minority ethnic communities. Where are the organisations that advocate for white people? Of course, we don't have any. Anybody that tries to advocate for white people is accused of being racist and white supremacist. And even if you just try to philanthropically give money to some of these universities to pay for scholarships for the white working class, you will be accused of being racist, as happened when a rich philanthropist tried to do just that. The same thing that Stormzy did. And it was perfectly fine for Stormzy to offer money for black scholarships, but we can't have anyone white doing the same for white scholarships. Much has changed since the time of Enoch Powell, but BLM and the health and economic impacts of COVID on Bami people have highlighted long-standing inequalities. Begum, who joined Runnymede at the end of August, said this year's events shifted the public discourse. By contrast, she said the government had been slow to address the increased risk to ethnic minorities from COVID and had used Bami appointments to its Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities and to ministerial roles to propagate its denial of structural racism, citing as an example the Equalities Minister, Kemi Badenoch's rubbishing of critical race theory. And it's just incredible, isn't it? The government, she admits here that the government have basically put lots of black people into ministerial roles. They've set up a commission to look at the different outcomes, the different disparities between the ethnicities, but that is all just so that they can deny that there is structural racism. I mean, isn't the way to get rid of structural racism to institute a meritocracy? Wouldn't that be the solution? So that there was no way that anybody could argue. They could just say, well, it was my qualifications that got me here. Of course, they don't ask for that because they know that there are differences between the races. And when you have a meritocracy, that the differences become very stark. So what they're asking for here isn't equality. What they're asking here for is equality of outcome, regardless of the work that somebody puts in, regardless of the aptitude that they have. They think that the job should go to somebody simply because of what colour they are. The exact thing that we are accused of doing. Kemi Badenoch, who quite rightly spoke about how it is against the law to teach critical race theory to children, has been attacked as if, like it's saying here, she's just been used to deny structural racism. Well, no, she was pointing out that if you're going to teach something such as critical race theory, which is political in its nature, then you have to provide an alternative. You have to provide what the alternative side of the political view states on this. The uncritical teaching of things like this to children is the reason why the world is the way that it is today, isn't it? Because these children are brainwashed into going along with these agendas that are suicidal for their people. Children today are being told that they have to put black people first, and if they don't do that, then they're a racist. And of course, it's the worst thing in the world to be a racist. It's worse than being a rapist. But of course, all the other races are racist against whites because there's nothing wrong with actually putting your people first. It's the same principle as when you put your own family first. It doesn't mean you hate the other families. It means you just love your own family and understand that that is the way things are meant to be. She says, if you have white liberals pushing a white nationalist agenda, that's just incredible, isn't it? It's the liberals that we are up against. The liberals are not white nationalists. She says, if you have white liberals pushing a white nationalist agenda, it's very easy to challenge for other white liberals who don't agree. But if you can actually put in more black and minority leaders pushing hard on white nationalism, it's much harder to challenge. It's really important that we understand why these leaders are appointed. It is not to promote inclusiveness. It is actually to promote divisions. So she's saying that all these black and minority ethnics that have been hired, they're all there secretly to promote a white nationalist agenda. It's incredible, isn't it? White nationalism is the idea that white people should have their own communities. They should have their own areas where they're free to be themselves, where they're free to be amongst one another. We don't even produce the right hormones when we have multiculturalism. We don't produce oxytocin, which is produced when we are with our own people, and it promotes a sense of bonding. It's the same hormone that is produced when the mother feeds her child, and this substance our bodies produce when we are among our own people. And when we are among other races, our body doesn't produce it. So it doesn't produce the hormone that we need for social cohesiveness. It is so unnatural that we live together in this multicultural system that we have now. And it's that that promotes the division. She says here that it is not to promote inclusiveness. They are actually promoting division. Well, she's quite right. They are promoting division. She is promoting division. What she considers to be inclusiveness, which is where you have so-called diversity and lots of multiculturalism, that is division in itself, isn't it? And a house divided against itself will not stand. Begum said she believed the Conservative government was inspired by the electoral success of right-wing politicians, such as Trump in 2016, but also the party's individualistic notion of society and the economy. That may be true, but they've gone completely back on all that support that they got from people that were on the right. Boris Johnson and his administration have been incredibly left-wing and liberal, and they stabbed Trump in the back. He was one of the first people to welcome the usurper Joe Biden in there, regardless of all the allegations of fraud in that election, all the obvious fraud that we can actually see taking place on our television screens. She said, there's nothing wrong with the values of the Conservative Party, which is to create more wealth. I thought it was actually about conserving things. And of course, as was pointed out by Horace the other day, the only things that the Conservative Party actually conserve are the policies that have been put in place by the left when they're in power. What they don't see is that when they talk about the level playing field, they think the level playing field is not level for white people. What they don't see is that the playing field is not level for black people. It hasn't been for years. Well, when in actual fact, as I keep pointing out, it's white people that are disadvantaged here with all these new laws that they keep bringing in. But we did actually have a meritocracy. It was possible for people to start in the working class and work their way up to being the head of countries such as India. We've had all these instances in our Greatest Britain series of people starting out with absolutely nothing and working their way up to becoming in the upper class and leading countries, right up to actually leading countries and being the governor of entire countries. And that was because we did have a meritocracy. But if you bring in other races with other cultures, other ways of doing things that have a different IQ, they are not going to succeed as well in our culture as they would succeed in their own culture. So we're not talking about making things equal here. We did have a level playing field. What we have now is lots of ways to disadvantage white people simply for the fact that they are white. It is based on the fact that they are white that they are disadvantaged here. and we have ways to promote black and ethnic minorities, while at the same time accusing white people of being racist, when we quite clearly are not racist. What I'd like to think about is a formula that brings black working class people with them as well, and then if I think they did win the election, good on them. They're actually taking the whole voter base with them. Well, I haven't heard the Conservative Party talk about any policies that are specifically to benefit white people or white working class people, yet all we hear about is policies to help black people. So the Conservative Party have already done that. They've already just set up a commission to look into race and ethnic disparities, which she admits, but according to her, they're not actually doing that in reality. Despite her damning critique, Begum said she remained committed to working with the government and had recently met Boris Johnson's special advisers. Again, here she is. She is an advocate for black people and minority ethnics, and she's meeting with Boris Johnson's special advisers. When have we had anybody that advocates for white interests speaking with any of Boris Johnson's special advisers? When have we had them ever speaking to any of them in the government? They don't. They just attack us. They just call us all these vile names for trying to do what's best for our people. She also said her concerns were not limited to the Conservatives, warning a nervous Labour Party against pandering to white nationalism and thinking we've got to try some of that ourselves. It's incredible, isn't it? The Labour Party that were on their knees paying obeisance to Black Lives Matter just a couple of months ago, and she thinks that they're pandering to white nationalism. Begum said that while working class white communities were disadvantaged, they are not discriminated against because of the colour of their skin. And that is what we mean by structural racism. Are they not? Are they not being discriminated against when there are all these programs in the schools to help black and minority ethnics and whites aren't a part of that? Isn't that discrimination? Isn't that whites that are being discriminated against there? When they have these lessons where they split the group into black and minority ethnics in one group and whites in the other, and the black and minority ethnics are given sweets and are told to celebrate their heritage, and the whites are told that the blacks and minority ethnics don't succeed as well as whites, and it's all because of whites, and it's all because they're inherently racist and they have white guilt. Isn't that not discriminating against them? There was a Channel 4 series on this just a while back, and they reduced the white child to tears while the black and minority ethnics were whooping it up in the class next door. I mean, this is child abuse that is going on here. It's worse than discrimination against whites. A government spokesperson said the Independent Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities was set up to examine where inequality exists across the whole of society. Both the Prime Minister and the Commission remain fully committed to tackling racism, and we reject the divisive idea that the government is prioritising one group over another. Well, they will obviously reject the idea that they're prioritising whites over blacks, but in actual fact, just by setting up a Commission on Race and Ethnic Disparities, they are prioritising black and minority ethnics over whites, because they will blame white people for all these disparities. It's like they are blaming us for having built a successful society, and instead of building a successful society that was oriented towards helping people out on the other side of the world. The Prime Minister is thrilled to have assembled a group of talented and diverse commissioners who each bring a wealth of experience from across a range of important sectors. The evidence-led commission has been undertaking research and inviting submissions from various stakeholders, with the aim of delivering a positive agenda for change. And all of that is about doing things for black and minority ethnics. It's all about a positive agenda for change for black and minority ethnics. None of it is about doing anything for whites. This Begum character is extremely ungrateful for everything that has been done for her. I know we're running a little bit over time here, but I want to finish on some very good news. And this is from the Nordic Resistance Movement. Massive legal victory for the Nordic Resistance Movement. To give a very brief recap, the Gothenburg trials have concerned the Nordic Resistance Movement's use of the Old Norse tear rune. the fact that we marched in line at the Gothenburg demonstration, that our uniformed clothing in combination with our demonstrations made us reminiscent of Nazi Germany, and that those of us accused for these reasons should be convicted of incitement to racial hatred. However, the trial has been about more than just that. In reality, the indictment was about a ban of the Nordic resistance movement, which prosecutor Jonas Martinsson revealed in the Court of Appeal. But things didn't go the way our opponents wanted. Following a very clear and well-defined district court judgment, the verdict has now also been upheld by the Court of Appeal. This means an important legal victory for the Nordic resistance movement, as well as a gigantic failure for the forces that wanted to ban us. From the World Jewish Congress, which demanded a ban during a personal meeting with Morgan Johansson, to the lackey Morgan Johansson himself, who promised to do all in his power to assist them, to the corrupt police chiefs Klaus Freiberg and Eric Nord, who both did a terrible job, to the tired prosecutor Sleepy Joe Martinsson, and not least to the Jewish organisation Civil Rights Offenders, which wrote the indictment itself. Together they have spent a lot of time, wasted a lot of taxpayers' money, and had high hopes that the Swedish courts would be completely compromised, but all of it was in vain. The facts supporting our position are irrefutable. The Chancellor of Justice, the Gothenburg District Court, the Lower Norrland Court of Appeal, and now the Court of Appeal for Western Sweden have all ruled that the tear rune is a lawful symbol, and that the Nordic resistance movement as an organisation does not constitute a carbon copy of the NSDAP, or that we as an organisation must take the blame for any impropriety that occurred in Germany 80 years ago. That is fantastic news. Well done to the Nordic resistance movement. They will continue onwards fighting for their people and fighting for the wider white community. Thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.